There's a difference between hearing and listening. That philosophical statement comes not from the Bible, not from Confucius, not from Will Rogers or Mark Twain or any of those other sources of wisdom. It comes from the early 1990s movie, White Men Can't Jump. Now, the movie itself is about a black man, Sidney, and a white man, Billy, who hustle street basketball games. They take advantage of the stereotype that white people aren't as good at basketball to lull opponents into betting too much money on them to lose, not really realizing that Billy, the white man, is actually a former college basketball star. So as the two begin their partnership, they're navigating their own racial stereotypes and assumptions about each other, and that quickly leads them to music. In one scene, they're riding in the car, and Billy, the white man, puts on a recording of Jimi Hendrix, the groundbreaking rock guitarist from the late 1960s, who was black. "What is this?" Sidney asks theatrically. "Jimi Hendrix," Billy responds, a little surprised. "No," Sidney presses, "I know who it is, but why are you playing Jimmy?" "Well, because I like to listen to him," Billy responds defiantly. "Oh, you like to listen," Sidney pounces. "See, that's what the problem is. You listen. You're supposed to hear it." Billy starts getting defensive. "I just said I like to listen to him." And Sidney scowls and replies, "No, no, no. There's a difference between hearing and listening. You can't hear Jimmy. You're just listening." Annoyed, Billy swaps out the music and begins playing a new song, this time a mournful classic country music ballad by George Jones. Sidney throws up his hands at the sound of it and says, "Who is this? Take this out." And Billy responds gleefully, "But you're listening, you're not hearing him," delighting in the opportunity to turn the tables. Now, in the movie, it mostly plays out as just another version of that old comedic trope about the differences between white people and black people. But ironically, it's actually tapping into multiple deeper layers of significance. First, Jimi Hendrix exploded into rock music as an innovative master of psychedelic music, which was overwhelmingly associated with white people, but he did that by fusing that genre with the classic elements of American blues music, created by black people. So for Sidney to identify Hendrix as someone that only black people could understand is actually missing a lot of the breadth and significance of his music. Second, country music, which is often seen as exclusively appealing to white people in our culture, is actually deeply indebted to and rooted in the traditions of blues music, from the basic styles and chord progressions to the emphasis on lament and loss in the lyrics, to one of the signature instruments, the banjo, being brought to the United States by West African people when they were enslaved here. So neither one of them are truly hearing the music in the country song. And tellingly, the scene concludes with neither one of them realizing any of this or learning anything from it. Because there's a difference between hearing and listening. And neither understands that they are listening to rather than hearing both of those songs. Sidney was right about one thing, though. There really is a difference between hearing and listening. To listen to something simply means to engage in the act of listening. To hear something means that you not only listened, you received and accurately comprehended it. That difference is particularly obvious and important in music because it's so common that people enjoy listening to a song while failing to comprehend its true meaning. Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA is often taken as a rousing, patriotic anthem of pride, but if you actually listen to the lyrics, you realize it's a prophetic lament about the fate of young men who were sent to fight in Vietnam, both those who died there and those who came back. A song by The Police, "Every Breath You Take," was often assumed to be a romantic love song when it came out, when in reality, it's the inner monologue of someone who's obsessed to the point of almost stalker behavior. If someone sends you a note that says, every breath you take, every move you make, every step you take, I'll be watching you. It's not a good thing. Ed Sheeran's A-Team sounds like an upbeat pop song in terms of its music, but it really has very dark lyrics about a drug-addicted woman in a homeless shelter where the artist had been volunteering. But people just simply hummed along with it when it was a huge top 10 hit in 2012 because they didn't listen or hear to what the song was about. Jesus clearly understands the difference between hearing and listening and how important it is. Let anyone with ears to hear listen, he says, because listening is where you begin. Listening is the first part of paying attention. When I was in elementary school and I got those early report card evaluations, I always did well on things like plays well with others and uses time wisely. Where I got less than satisfactory remarks was on things like follows directions and listens carefully. Now, I always considered directions to be more like guidelines, really. And I never understood why it was a problem if I got the right results by following a different and frankly more effective way of getting there. And yes, like many children, I did not always listen carefully because I was off in my own thoughts and may not have even heard the teacher start talking. Or more often because I heard the first part of what the teacher was saying and assumed that I knew what the rest was that was coming. In my defense, I think I was hardly unique in that. If people gave report cards in relationships, a whole lot of people would mark their partner down as less than satisfactory when it comes to listens carefully. It's actually why it's important to recognize that as a skill and to push children to develop it, because if we haven't figured that out by adulthood, it's gonna cause a lot of problems. But far beyond that, there's so many, many of our conversations with partners and friends and colleagues and family members that are not really conversations at all, in which one person talks and the other person listens and then you switch roles. And social media has made this worse, but it far predates social media because often our conversations are more like alternating monologues in which one person talks while the other person formulates what they themselves are going to say. But you can't listen when that's what you're doing, which is probably what leads to frustrated comments at some point, like, would you just listen for a minute? But to listen means you direct your attention to what the person whom you're in conversation with has to say. Let anyone with ears to hear listen, Jesus says. Because just the capacity for hearing, having those ears, isn't enough. You have to listen. You have to pay attention by listening so that you can hear. And then Jesus says something that's a little more puzzling. Pay attention to what you hear, he continues. What does that mean? Pay attention to what you listen to. That would make sense. That's how you avoid the kind of misinterpretations of lyrics to songs like I was talking about earlier. But if you already paid attention by listening, why do you need to pay attention to what you hear? If hearing means understanding what you listen to, isn't that already paying attention? No, it's not. Not fully, anyway. Because we fail to pay attention to things that we don't simply listen to, but actually hear all the time. All of us have heard, have well understood that physical health requires consistency in eating a well-balanced diet and getting exercise, especially aerobic exercise, on a regular basis. And yet millions of people in the United States who have the time and the resources to eat well and exercise still don't do so. Why? Well, there's a lot of reasons why. We enjoy eating food that's not good for us and portions that are too big for us. Sometimes we don't enjoy exercising, particularly when we haven't been exercising for a while. And we enjoy dedicating our limited personal time and energy to that even less. But the problem is not that we haven't listened to the advice and the warnings. The problem is not that we haven't heard the meaning and significance of them. The problem is we haven't paid attention to what we heard. We haven't changed our perspective or our behavior in response to what we've heard. That is the attention deficit that Jesus is concerned about. Spiritual practices often stress the importance of paying attention, of truly attending to what's going on in our interior and exterior worlds, of recognizing and understanding the glorious beauty and mystery of God at work, which is sometimes easy to miss entirely when we're not paying attention. All the ways that reflect the goodness of God in the world. One of the most popular internet videos over the years has been one of the violinist Joshua Bell playing in a metro station in Washington, D.C. People pay hundreds of dollars each to see him in concert halls. And yet there he was in the metro station playing just as he did on the stage every night, and people just walked right on by. They weren't paying attention. They weren't listening. They certainly weren't hearing. And they weren't responding to this remarkable opportunity before them. But simply paying attention and attending to the world around us is good and right and has an important place in spiritual practice. But even that isn't what Jesus is most concerned about here. What he's really focusing on here is the importance of listening to and hearing the gospel itself, and then paying attention to what we hear. Jesus knows how easy it is for us to assume we know what he's saying and what the rest is that's coming, and therefore not to really listen to or hear it. He runs into that all the time with his crowds that follow him, who assume that he's telling them about how God loves them, but loves them more than other people, and will use him to get rid of all those other people who are getting in the way with their demons or poverty or disease or wrong beliefs, or who are occupying their land as the Roman emperor's directions. That's the gospel. That's the good news that many people in Jesus' day wanted to hear. And so they don't pay attention to realize he's saying something much different, much more important and challenging and powerful, because they're not listening, they're not hearing, and they're not paying attention to what they hear. That problem is hardly unique to Jesus' day. All of us, sometimes fail to pay attention to the full truth and beauty and challenge and power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't listen well, or we don't actually hear what we're listening to. Or most commonly, we don't pay attention to what we hear. We say things like, sure, Jesus said, love your enemies and turn the other cheek, and it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, but he didn't really mean those things. We can just sort of let that go. The ease with which we do not pay attention to what we hear from Jesus is exactly why he warned us that we needed to do so. Because neither listening nor listening and hearing is enough. To pay attention requires that we respond intentionally and faithfully to what we've heard. And the good thing is that paying attention builds on itself. The more we listen to the gospel, the more we hear and understand it. And the more we respond to what we hear and understand, the clearer it is whether we've heard and understood well and faithfully. If what we hear in the gospel is that we're better than everyone else out there because we claim to be Jesus' followers, and then act accordingly by treating everybody else worse, everyone who's different from us, then it becomes clear to everyone else, even if not to us, that we've heard and understood very little of who Jesus is, of what Jesus came to do, and even less of what he wants us to be. And that false understanding will be taken away from us, as Jesus says, sooner or later, in the way that all delusions ultimately dissolve. But if what we hear in the gospel is that Jesus loves us, each and every one of us, so much that God was willing to be incarnated in Jesus to come among us as one of us, to teach and heal people as signs of the kingdom, to suffer and die and be resurrected to life, to conquer the power of death itself, that we as followers of Christ should be responding by imitating his ministry of radical compassion and welcome and healing and peace in our own lives. If we hear that, then even more understanding will be given to us. More compassion and welcome and healing and peace be bestowed on us and entrusted to us to share, so that the measure we get and the measure we give can be as filled to overflowing as God's love is for this world. That is the good news, that we are called and enabled to listen to hear, to understand, to share. All we have to do is pay attention. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.